Introducing America's Workforce Academy, built by Meta. Paid training, a job, and a path to America's future. Because the future is for everyone. Learn more at meta.com/America's Workforce Academy.
Sport
on the Claire Byrne Show
with Visa. Everything's a tap-in with Visa, wherever the game takes you.
Now we're going to look back at all of the weekend sporting action, and I'm joined by Off the Ball's Mick McCarthy. Hello, how are you?
Gosh,
it was a busy one, wasn't it?
As usual at this time of year, I think.
It was great, though. So we have Dublin Kerry and Louth Mayo in the football semi-finals, but they were hard-won wins.
Oh, there was like, to be honest, you will even go through them here, and it's like, you know, you've almost forgotten what happened in Mayo and Cork. It feels so long ago, but all four of them were close, all four of them were dramatic. Like, it's the gift that keeps on giving at the moment, this football championship, you know. So obviously all the rules, it's come at a time of parity, and it's just been exciting game after exciting game. It's really hard to believe that we're having these positive conversations about football. If you sent someone 5 years forward, time traveling to now, they think you were bananas. Like, you know, they think we're talking about a parallel universe.
I was listening closely on the radio, because it wasn't on the telly, to Tyrone Kerry and Darren McCurry. Like, he came on and he scored 10 points.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the game. Well, yeah. Not enough to take them over the line, but what a performance for him.
It was unbelievable. It's actually the first note I have written down in this game, because I feel like it is just so worth noting. He didn't come on, I think, it was well into the 40s, anyway, in minutes, like well into the second half, and he came on and he scored 10 points. He got 2 2-point frees and another free, and then 5 points from play. Like, just an incredible performance, really. And he did it actually in the previous round as well for Tyrone. So one of those guys, you go, maybe they should have had him on for the start, but that was an unbelievable game. Kerry, like, were always kind of between 2 and 1 point ahead.
Yeah.
They just kept their noses ahead. But Tyrone, just, you kept thinking they were going to wilt, and Kerry would just, because Kerry played well. They scored 225 in the game. David Clifford was on fire. He got 1-8. Dylan Gainey had his best ever game. He was man of the match. He got 8 points for Kerry. So they played really, really well. And it seemed like they were just going to stretch away and stretch away. And Tyrone, who've had a tough season, and it didn't look like it was going anywhere. They were terrible in the league. They lost in the first round of Ulster. And they just came into it. And they put in one of those kind of performances that you thought, something might happen here. You know, and they got it back to a point, basically, with time up. If they had won that kick out, who knows what would have happened? We could have went to extra time. Instead, Kerry got the ball and scored a goal and made it look like a bigger gap than it actually was.
It was a tough loss for Tyrone.
It really was. It really was, because it just felt like they might get there. And it would have been one of those, like, they won an absolute classic, the kind of thing that could kick you on forward to an All-Ireland. In Kerry's perspective, they survived an unbelievable game, and they're going in now. They've got the Dubs in a couple of weeks, and it's hard to actually see anybody stopping Kerry at the moment, despite how dramatic everything has been.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about Dublin then. How did you feel that they did? I mean, there were 6 points down at one stage in the second half.
So they went 6 points down John Maher got a goal for Galway, and I kind of thought, you know what, Dublin have done okay here, because that's the level I thought they were at. I thought that it was going to be a close game for a certain amount of time and Galway would stretch away. And in the end, the opposite happened. Galway got one more point after that and Dublin got 1-8. So the fact that they had that sort of self-belief, they immediately got a couple of scores and made it down to 4 points, and or down to 3 points, actually. And you're thinking, right, actually, they've completely weathered the storm here. They got a penalty. That penalty resulted in a black card for Galway, which meant that they were playing the last 10 minutes with 14, and Dublin just stretched away after that and just were the better team. But to be honest, it said an awful lot about Dublin that they were able to... This is not a team that people have believed in this year. And a lot of them talked about it on RTE after the game. You know, they thought they said, like, you know, we've been spoken down to, or, you know, we've been written off and all of this kind of stuff. It's obviously in their mind. But so this isn't the Dublin of old. This is a team that we kind of have thought of as maybe building for the future, maybe in crisis, who knows. And instead they answered. And when they came down against Galway, who'd be arguably the second best team in the country so far this year, and when it came down to the crunch, it was Dublin that looked like the old stagers.
They could pull it out of the bag, right?
And everything like that.
And so, listen, what about Louth, like, in the semi-finals for the first time in, what, 69 years?
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. It's such an unbelievable story. And I have to say, you were mentioning this and some of this on the radio. I was driving for the first half an hour of this game, and you're hearing that Louth get a red card after 7 minutes, I think it was. Sean Callaghan gets sent off, and you're like, That's it now.
Yeah.
I was just like, that's such a pity. This isn't going to be a great game now. Monaghan are going to win it quite easily. There's no way a team like Louth on such a big stage can last 63 minutes with 14 men. And they just lived with them all the way through. And every time Monaghan stretched away, Louth calmed it down. And they're playing with such a level of experience and know-how and nous at the moment that I'm just really, really impressed with them. And again, they were the team that finished like stronger. From Monaghan's point of view, I felt really, really sorry that Rory Beggan, who's their tallies man, and like he's one of the best players in the country, he missed the game. I think that made such a huge difference to them. And you could see the devastation on his face when he walked onto the pitch at the end of the game, that he missed the game and that Monaghan missed out. But you have to give it to Louth. Like, this is a team that, you know, are traditionally one of the weaker counties in Gaelic football, mm-hmm. and have been basically all our lives, and for them to come, and they've been a good team for the last couple of years, but they've gone to a completely new level now, and they've deserved every step of it. Like, they, again, to do that with 14 men can't be understated.
And they will meet Mayo in the semi-final. Yeah. Now let's move on to mention a couple of other things. I know you want to mention the cricketers, because like, what is going on? They've beaten India twice.
They've beaten India twice in Stormont on Friday, and then again yesterday. They had a little mini T20 series. That's 20 over cricket. Just for context, like, India don't even play Ireland that often because they're in a different level. But between one day and T20 in international cricket before this weekend, India had beaten Ireland 11 out of 11 times. And for them to go there this week and beat them on Friday, historic victory. But then to have a series win over them by beating them again yesterday by a dramatic one run.
Giving them a kick in the ass on the way out.
Absolutely, yeah. See you later, India. But yeah, no, incredible. And just to add to it as well, the women have been at the T20 World Cup at the moment. And it's actually been quite a disappointing tournament. They finished bottom of their group. But in their last game, they beat the West Indies, another powerhouse, who are going on to the semi-finals, one of the better teams in the competition. So between Friday, Saturday and Sunday, three historic wins for Irish cricket. So just worth mentioning.
We better all order cricket bats now for the house. On to the World Cup then. So we have Cape Verde making it through to the second round, which is extraordinary in and of itself. But the Irish flag featuring a lot at the Cape Verde matches, because Pico Lopez, of course, is there, the Shamrock Rovers star. Going to face Argentina, though, on Friday. That's going to be a big game for Cape Verde, right?
Yeah. Oh, well,
politely.
Tough one, I would say, yeah. But at the same time, I wouldn't write them off. You know, they drew nil all with Spain. They're obviously a hard team to beat. Uruguay went ahead against them and they came back. They qualified out of African qualifying early and quickly, which people have kind of forgotten about. Like, that is not an easy thing to do. There are really, really good teams in Africa. Nigeria aren't at this tournament, for example. You know, Cameroon. There's lots of good teams that didn't qualify out of African qualifying. At the same time, it's like the fact that they've got out of it, the fact that they've gone unbeaten in their group. From Pico Lopez's point of view, his story has gone worldwide. They've kept two clean sheets. He's had a really, really good tournament on the pitch, as well as the stories travelling worldwide. Mm-hmm. It feels like it might be a bit much. But from his point of view, he is going to be coming up against Leo Messi on Friday night. Like, talk about dreams coming true, you know. Like,
crack.
He's had an unbelievable career, but talk about going to a new level at a late age.
We're just coming to the end, Mick. Did you see England play at the weekend?
I did, yeah.
Kind what of did you think? I watched a bit of it. What's going on here? I don't know.
Flat purges. Yeah. I don't know. Like, they won 2-0. It was, they kind of already knew they were true. They were like likely to beat them and top the group. So it's hard to judge, but I'd be a little bit worried about England. I feel like they're just a bit flat or something. Mm. They almost need the team to come and go at them. And then we might see what they're able to do. But I don't know. I'd be a little bit worried if I was England.
I felt a bit meh as well. But look, as you say, now that we move into the next round, we might see different things, right?
Mm. Yeah, they're playing Democratic Republic of Congo on Wednesday. And we've got, like, it's all into the knockouts now. Canada beat South Africa last night, last minute winner, which was dramatic after a terrible game. But we've got Brazil tonight. We've got Germany tonight. Netherlands-Morocco is like the tie of the tournament. It's on at 2 a.m. tonight. Both of them finished where you would expect in their group, so this was predictable. Like, that's on at 3 a.m. Netherlands time, 2 a.m. Morocco time. There's a little bit of, I don't know, this feels like a middle of the night World Cup at the moment for all the big games.
It does. Mick, thanks so much. And we didn't even get to talk about Wimbledon, which is starting today. But we'll do that the next time. Now.